Hey, you're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. If you're riding your bike down the Burke Gilman Trail to the University of Washington's campus, you'll cruise by a long row of glass buildings. Ever since the new Life Sciences building opened in 2018, the University of Washington has been moving its extensive plant collection from its botany greenhouse in Redmond to this new 20,000-foot greenhouse on campus. The collection now has 6,000 plants, that is, and is one of the most diverse collections in the country. Last December, the UW opened the upgraded greenhouse to the public, and Soundside producer Alec Cowan went to see the collection up close.
My name is Melissa Lacey. I'm a plant tech here at the greenhouse.
Melissa and I are standing in a room of towering plants, expansive ferns and twisting vines, all beneath buzzing heat lamps and cool misters. Before working at the current greenhouse, Melissa Lacey was a graduate student in the University of Washington's Department of Biology. Back then, if you wanted to study the school's massive plant collection, it meant going all the way out to Redmond or driving delicate plant species to campus. And that wasn't the only problem with the previous setup at the old botany greenhouse.
The greenhouse was all one room, which had a lot of challenges because you couldn't set different zones, so we had our arid plants and our tropical plants and things that like to get a little cooler at night, all growing together.
In contrast, the new facility at the Life Sciences building on the UW campus is immense, with four climate-controlled rooms that mimic ecosystems from around the world.
So we have arrived in our arid room. We have plants from many different continents.
The collection here serves several purposes. 65 years ago, it was a source of medicinal plants and herbs for the pharmacology and toxicology department. But as it's grown, so too has its role. Students now have the chance to cultivate and study some of the most unique plants in the world, like the Welwitschia, which has the longest living leaves of any plant. They have two leaves that split and coil from the main plant like a long middle part haircut with dried out frosted tips.
So some of the oldest things we have in the collection, they grow in like the Namibian desert, and they can live up to be hundreds and even thousands of years old. They only make two leaves their whole life, and so that's what's coming out here. And they just kind of grow like hair. And we try not to cut ours to kind of show what that looks like. And that's natural that it would kind of dry out at the edges.
There are over 3,000 different species housed here. And the pride and joy of the greenhouse is a series of prehistoric ferns, which teach students about a climate similar but very different from our current world. Though they're smaller now, these plants are the relatives of the flora that dotted the landscape during the dinosaurs.
I think pretty like stand out in here is our giant ferns that we have. And these are like from the time of dinosaur ferns. And these are babies. Maybe the ferns are like 10 feet now, but they're gonna get even bigger. We just actually cut one off this morning because it provides sometimes too much shade to the rest of the collection.
The greenhouse is important for preservation efforts. Melissa shows me a small tree with drooping orange flowers. And since its arrival at the greenhouse, it's gone extinct in its native habitat.
This plant right here, Depa splendens, is from Mexico. It was collected in Mexico, kind of like one or two specimens that were then distributed pretty widely among greenhouses and things. This was collected maybe in the 90s or the 80s. And then when someone went back, it had been, the habitat had been lost to plants, like it was maybe paved for a road or whatever, and they never found any more of it. So it may exist in the wild still, but it's very fortunate that someone collected it when they did.
Melissa and her colleagues are more than just caretakers. They're helping propagate these threatened species. In the case of the Depa splendens, it can't reproduce on its own. It needs both a male and a female tree. But that said, the greenhouse can still use cuttings from the current plants in the collection to grow entirely new trees. The thing is that those are only clones and not genetically diverse individuals. And that can create its own problems for plants going forward.
If there was a virus that kind of comes through our space, neither one is going to be robust to that, if you know.
Yeah, so the plant may survive, but it may be weaker or more vulnerable in that case.
That could be, yeah. So it's going to be more and more important for groups that, you know, have the space and the resources to cultivate these plants to keep them around for people to not just enjoy, but to learn from. I mean, almost everything in here has a story. Let's go into the last room.
Sure.
The collection is also useful for studying climate change. Seattle has a bit of a Goldilocks climate when it comes to that. Plants from all corners of the globe can thrive in and out of doors here, and students simulate increases in heat or carbon dioxide to see how delicate plant species respond to a warming climate. In the Tree of Life room, you can see banana trees alongside coffee and cocoa plants. In the face of climate change, some of our widely cultivated plants are at risk. With too much warming, coffee plants can't grow, and some studies predict that severe climate change could wipe out 60% of wild coffee species.
Which plants are most at risk for climate change? I'd say it's the plants that live in the most extreme environments, and so the places where it's the hottest, where it's only going to get hotter, and it's not clear if the plants will be able to kind of catch up to their environment fast enough. There's also places where we're losing rain, and so if it's getting drier, same thing. The tools that plants use to survive really harsh climates took a really long time for them to evolve and develop, and so unclear how that's going to work, or if they're just going to be outcompeted by other plants that can do it better.
As we talk about fossil plants and risks to our current species, Melissa takes me to see Amia nobles, a spiky Australian tree with leaves that look like ferns.
There's a fossil record of this plant, but it had not been found living. And so for the longest time, people thought that this was a plant that had gone extinct, you know, thousands of years ago. But it wasn't until the 1980s, 90s in Australia, I believe it was found kind of in a landscape that had these like large kind of crevices and divots, and they were found growing in there. I believe it was also National Geographic that did a big push to get the seed and get the samples out there so that lots of institutions could enjoy it and spread it out for people to see. And so we have one. We've continued to propagate and make cuttings. I know there's.
I start to wonder about the fossil plants of the future, where researchers might study in a world that looks very different from the one we have today.
I just learned the other day from a graduate student in the department who does research on fossil plants and paleobotany about how what we think of as groups of plants, you know, that there might just be three plants in that family, like actually there could have been 10 others that went extinct long before humans arrived, and so we just never talk about them. But if you're in that world, you know about how diverse that group was a long time ago, and that, I mean, maybe I'd realized that before, but it did just kind of blow my mind to think about again.
Even now, with a 20,000 square foot facility, the greenhouse is taking on new plants and expanding, which makes Melissa's job of watering all these plants all the more strenuous. But if you'd like to see the collection yourself, maybe see some living fossils and some of the most unique plants from around the world, you can visit. The greenhouse is opening to the public for the first time starting Thursday, December 1st. For Soundside, I'm Alec Cowan.
That was Soundside producer Alec Cowan at the UW's new biology greenhouse. We first aired that story in December, and I just checked the biology website at the University of Washington says it is booking tours for the greenhouse through May. So get on there if you want to go check it out. Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m., Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.